So hey, let's get into the Word of God this morning. We're going to open up in prayer and let's head on over to Luke chapter 6, verse 1. We're going to be in Luke chapter 6 this morning. Some announcements. Calvary Chapel, Corvallis, March 14th, men's convention, men's group. We're going to be meeting here at about 6:45 on Saturday morning, jamming to Corvallis. It starts at 8 o'clock, and then we'll be done at around, Andrew, what is it, 1, 12, about 2 o'clock, so we should be home about by 4, and if you haven't heard about this yet, and you want to go, hey, hit me up after church and say, Jason, I want to go to the men's conference, Calvary Chapel Corvallis, on the 14th, and so we've got a big group of us that are going up, the fellows in the church, and we're going to carpool together and go up together. So put that on your calendar, pray about it, see if that's something that God wants you to do. Also, too, the kids' classroom is starting to really come along, and we want to thank Jesse, two people. Jesse, stand up for a second. Jesse's putting it together up there. He's been doing a lot of work. And Liberty, stand up. Let's see you. Just do it. You can get mad later. She hates it when I call her out. That's why I call her out. So, yeah, God's doing amazing things. And we got to still keep going. As you guys know, we took an old movie theater and we've been making little changes here and there with what we can with our budget. And we don't wait. We get busy while we're waiting, right? While we're praying, we work. And so next, we've got to get the walls painted in here and get that done up. That's the next project. So if you guys are able to paint, you know someone that knows how to paint, get with me because we could use your help in all of that too. So with that, let's open up in a word of prayer, and we're going to get started. Father God, in Jesus' name, thank you for your word today. I'm so excited to deliver the word that you laid on my heart. I pray that it goes in and it's like a seed, Father. I pray that you till up our hearts, that we can receive this word that you have for us today, that would take root and flourish, God, that we'd bear fruit, or that you would change us and that we could leave here today better than we came in. In the name of Jesus, amen. So you guys know Vicky and I have moved recently, and we've moved out into this place called Elk City. And it's amazing out there, but I'm still learning Elk City Road, and it's pretty windy and it's narrow. And so I'm trying to figure out how to, like, go around certain corners at certain speeds, because I'm a guy and I'm just like, pedal to the metal, let's go for it. And then my wife is like, no, slow down, you're freaking me out. And there's these little ruts off each side of the road that are like, I don't know, 6 inches, there's a drop. So if I'm going around a corner too fast that I'm not familiar with, it'll grab my tire and it jerks it into the ditch. Have you guys ever? That's freaking me out. So that it grabs our car and it jerks us into the, like, it wants to pull you. And so Vicky, what she does is she freaks out and she wants to grab the wheel and jerk me the other way to where I'm crossing over the road and going off into the other ditch. And I'm like, girl, you got to relax, because you're going to get us killed from going in like one, you know, I'm going into this ditch and you're trying to throw us into this other ditch. And so we're trying to figure this road out as we go. But the thing about it that the Lord was speaking to me about, these ditches on both sides of the road, is how it's really a picture of our walk with the Lord. That when we get saved, I'm going to share something with you guys. When we get saved and we give our life to Jesus, there's two roads, there's two ditches that we can fall into. And you're going to fall in to one or two of these ditches with your walk with the Lord. And the first ditch is the ditch where you first get saved, you give your life to the Lord, you're walking with the Lord, and you're trying to figure out how to do that. How many of you guys know, raise your hand, walking with the Lord can be weird, confusing at times. And so you get saved and you see all these rules and do not do's in the Bible. And the first temptation is, when you first get saved, is to keep all these rules, and you end up becoming legalistic in a way. This is really odd. But we end up becoming legalistic. We start looking at people that if they don't check our boxes off that we have for them, you should be doing this, shouldn't be doing that. You need to be doing it this way, not that way. You got to be going to church at this place. Can't go to church at that place. Can't do these worship songs. You can't hang out with certain people. Every time you hear a message, you're critiquing it and thinking, oh man, the pastor's messed up right there. That's not right. And you're measuring up everybody according to your jacked up standard. And it's called being legalistic. And that's a ditch that we can fall into. And we fall into it. It's like it makes sense. If you go by the rules, playtime will follow, right? Keep the rules. Just keep the rules. Be good. But then there's the other ditch on the way, other side, on the left. And we end up going out of the legalistic ditch where it's like we live by rules and try to measure everybody up to what we're doing and living, to going into the other ditch of whatever happens, happens. I'm saved by the blood of Jesus, so I can just do whatever I want. Am I speaking to anybody? You can just kind of, you know, you can go back to some of the same stuff you used to do. You can drink a little bit. You can get high a little bit. You can do your own little thing. Why? Because you're saved. It doesn't matter. You're saved by the blood of Christ. Do you know anybody like that? They swing high over to the left, and they're just like, whatever, I'm good. Do you know anybody like that? I'm great. I can just swing. Kelly, we're not looking for confession. But you can do that, and you can just be like, man, I can be over here because it's okay. I'm saved, and it's all good. I can have a fight with people in the church, leave it, and then talk junk about everybody when I go. See, the problem with that is that you're swinging way over into another ditch. And when we get into Luke chapter 6, verse 1, we see this ditch of these Pharisees and the tax collectors and the sinners. And Jesus is going to start out. He's going to show us something. We want to stay on the path with Jesus. Amen? We don't want to go crazy into the left. We don't want to go crazy in the right. We want to learn from the religious leaders who are crazy right, and we also want to learn from the sinners that, hey, listen, that's not the way to go either. Because when we accept the Lord, he changes us, right? Our mind, our attitudes, our thoughts. So it's like we want to stay on the path. Hey, and listen, thank God for Jesus because he delivers us from ditches. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to go in a ditch one way or the other. So in chapter 6, verse 1, and Luke, are you guys there? Two people? All right, cool. So let's start in Luke chapter 1. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, the guys who are crazy to the right, are going to bust Jesus for breaking the Sabbath. Now, it happened on the second Sabbath after the first, when he went through grain fields and his disciples plucked grain. He plucked the heads of grain and they ate them, rubbing them in their hands. And some of the Pharisees said to them, why are you doing what's not lawful on the Sabbath? So these guys look at Jesus and they're like, what are you guys doing breaking all the laws? You shouldn't be doing that. Now, the laws that they're talking about, are you guys familiar with the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt not have no other God but me. That means idolatry. So God's not down with you worshiping sex, dope, money, prosperity, likes on Facebook, messing around. He's just not down with it. I don't know why, but he doesn't want you worshiping that. He doesn't want me worshiping that stuff. So he's like, listen, thou shalt not have no other God. And you guys know you can worship a lot of stuff. It doesn't have to be some kind of figure at the Chinese restaurant. We can worship all kinds of stuff. And then thou shalt not murder, right? We talked about that last week. No matter how mad you get, no matter how bad your husband drives you crazy, thou shalt not murder. We got that, right? No matter how mad, there's no reason. Or if some guy pulls up in a Ferrari, leaves the car door open, or his Harley Davidson and he's got the keys in it, you don't take it, no matter how bad you want it. You don't want to get mixed up in all of that. And so these rules and these regulations, there's these Ten Commandments that are there. Now, the one that started this mess on the Sabbath is found in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, where it says, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. 6 days you shall do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God, and you shall not do any work. So what they're being accused of is harvesting grain and they're getting accused of winnowing, like getting it in their hands, and preparing a meal. All three of them, just for plucking grain. Now, what's crazy is these guys pop up in the middle of the field out of nowhere. Did you see it? And I was wondering, were they like hiding in stalks of grain with grain stuck to their helmet, you know, glued, and they're wearing a jacket and it's got like sod on it, and they're just waiting. They're just waiting. Oh man, as soon as they pick that grain, boom, they're up. We got you. We got you. You're so busted picking that grain, looking all ridiculous with the grain stuck glued to their head. Have you guys ever noticed that there's some people who are always looking at you to bust you for something? Watching your Facebook posts, where you're going, who you're going with, why you're going with them, why are they doing that? Did you guys know that? There's people that got their eye on you. You may not know it, but they do. And there's just some people that got their eye on other people, always looking to bust them. And so these guys have got their eyes on Jesus, and they're looking to bust them for breaking the Sabbath. And they ask him, why are you eating the grain on the church day? So the problem of it is, it's not like they're stealing grain from somebody else's field. They're going and they're gleaning grain, not stealing grain. Okay, do you guys got that? They're not doing what's unlawful for them to be doing on the Sabbath. The problem was what they were doing when they were doing it, and it was on a Saturday. It was a Sabbath day, a holy day. Today's kind of our Sabbath. And the rule was that you can't go and harvest your neighbor's crops for your own benefit. That's the rule. So if you had a piece of property and you guys are growing corn out there, I don't know, watermelon, I don't know what you guys are into, but let's just say that you've got a property, and then some guy shows up on your land with his tractor, his name's Earl, and he goes to Newport Rental, and he gets a backhoe, and he starts jacking your yard up, and you're like, dude, what are you doing? He's like, I'm just getting all the fruit and vegetables, and then I'm going to go sell it at the farmer's market. And you're like, bro, you're on my property. This is weird. That's what they weren't supposed to do, but that's not what they're doing. They're just simply hungry on the Sabbath, and as they're going out, they're collecting this food and they're eating it. But here's the problem with what they're doing when they're doing it, when these religious leaders, the crazy people legalistic on the right, they say that they're breaking the law of the Sabbath. And the Sabbath was given to us, to everybody, to be a blessing, not a burden, to be to where you hit the pause button on life, you hit the brakes, and you spend time with God, you enjoy what God has given you, what he's blessed you with, and you just hit the brakes and enjoy it. And so what they did is they took that simple law, thou shalt not work on the Sabbath, and they twisted it and they manipulated it to where it became a burden to keep it, not a blessing. Here's a couple burdens that it turned into. If you were a woman, and you guys know how you wear them hair weaves extensions, I don't know if this is not okay to talk about, by the way, so get with me after church. But some, I've heard it said that women wear weaves or like extensions. If you were to do that on a church day, that would be considered carrying a burden, and you couldn't do it. It'd be like working. And there's a word from the Lord to somebody here today. You need to let your burden down. Amen? Come on. I've got like 20 more minutes. So there's a burden there that you couldn't carry. Also, too, if you're a woman, and you guys have probably heard this one, you couldn't look on the mirror on the Sabbath. Why? In case you saw a gray hair, you'd be tempted to pluck that thing out of there. And that was considered plowing. If you were in your apartment and there was an earthquake and it caved in on you on the Sabbath, the ambulance would come and they'd ask you, hey, friend, are you okay in there? And you'd go, yeah, I'm good. Thank God. I'm good. Praise God. Get me out of here. And they'd be like, tomorrow, friend, tomorrow, tomorrow, hang in there, God's good. Because they had turned it from a blessing to rest into a burden to keep. And you know what? We want to keep the Sabbath no matter what day it is. Jesus Christ is our Sabbath. We enter his rest for what he's done. Amen? He's paid the price. He's done it all. And we find our rest on the daily. It's not just Saturday, but it's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, love. You guys remember that song? But it's all the time. Because he's our Sabbath. And it's to be a blessing, not a burden. And you know what we do on Sunday? Go home and enjoy your wife. Enjoy your children. Enjoy your dogs, your animals, everything God's given you, your home. You guys go home, you got homes, your cars, your family, whatever God's given you, take it and just hit the brakes and look at it for a minute and say, God, you've blessed me more than I deserve. He has. I mean, I'm just constantly reminded of how good God is to me. Really, I've told you guys last week, if he told me 5 years ago, Jason, write a check forever, how much, I would have wrote it for way too little. God has blessed me so much, church. Man, with good friends, amazing church of people who love Jesus. God is so good to us. And it's to be a blessing to enjoy them babies that are driving you crazy. One day, they're going to be gone. And you're really going to be wishing they were at home, tearing the house up, putting Vaseline in the carpet. You know what I mean? So, I know it seems rough, but God has given us stuff to enjoy and to enjoy it and it to be a blessing. The Sabbath is to be a blessing. Grab that motorcycle and go on a ride after church. You know what I'm saying? Like, enjoy life. That was the problem, is that Jesus enjoyed life too much. You remember they were asking him, why aren't you fasting and praying and all this stuff? And Jesus is like, forget that. I didn't come to bring life as a funeral, but a festival. Hello, it's going to get better with me, not worse. And so there's a blessing, not a burden, in the Sabbath. And so they're accusing Jesus of breaking the Sabbath. And I love this. Check out verse 3. Jesus says to them, hey, how many of you guys know you don't want to get in an argument with Jesus? Right? Because he'll get you. He's good like that. I'm telling you, he's crafty. He knows the angles. And so in verse 3, it says, Jesus answered them and he said, have you not even read this? What David did when he was hungry, when those were with him? That how he went into the house of God, took and ate the showbread, and also gave some to those who were with him, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat. And he said to them, the Son of Man is Lord over the Sabbath as well. So Jesus, he gets in the face. You know who these guys are? They're the doctors. They're the lawyers. They're the professionals. These are the guys that went to school that know how to argue, debate, and they know it very well. And Jesus gets up into their face because they got this opinion about what God says is right. And Jesus is like, I'm going to show you what's right. I understand your opinion, but let's get to God's word about it. And so there's a principle there. It's great for people to have opinion, but when you get in an argument with somebody, it's better to stand on God's word than to stand on your opinion. Because you can say whatever you want to say. Go ahead and say it. It doesn't even matter. But you want to anchor what the argument is in and keep it focused on God's word and not going and giving our opinion about this and giving our opinion about that. Because some people you just can't reason with. Do you know anybody like that when you're talking with people and the scripture comes and they just start going talking crazy? And you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's kind of like bring it back into the word of God. And that's exactly what Jesus does. He brings it back in, and he's talking about, listen, you guys, this is what he says to him. You guys want to talk about breaking the law? Let's talk about your favorite is king in the whole wide world. So for the Republicans, this would be Trump. And it would be like, oh, you know, you tell a Trump supporter, oh, and by the way, Jesus didn't come to take sides. He came to take over. Amen? Amen. All right, let's agree on that. Let's agree on that before I go into what I'm going to tell you. because you get upset at me, but now we're going to keep it with Jesus. So there are no sides, but it's like if you were to tell a Trump supporter something about Trump, about, hey, you know what, Trump broke the law. They would go, oh, no, he did not. No. Not my Trumpy. And they would freak out. And so Jesus, it's kind of like that. He roots this argument in King David. He's like, hey, let's talk. Hey, you say I'm breaking the law? Cool, let's go there. Hermeneutics is my jam. They don't know who they're talking to. And he says, what about David? When he went in, there was Ahimelech, the priest. And David was hungry, and he goes into the tabernacle. There's nothing but showbread. It represented the 12 tribes of Israel that only the priests could eat. And it was a representation. You remember Jesus came on the scene 2,000 years later, and he said, I am the bread of life. Everything that you need to sustain your life is in me. You know how we say we can't live without Starbucks? Well, we really can't live without Jesus. He is the bread of life. We need him on the daily. Like your food needs food, you need Jesus. I need Jesus, big time. And so Jesus is a picture of that bread that only the priest could eat. And Jesus goes to the Pharisees and he goes, hey, didn't you guys ever read your Bible? That's not what you say to somebody who reads their Bible. And they do it on the daily and they memorize the books. We can't even memorize a verse. Tell me, what's John chapter 12, 15? See, I don't know. I don't either. But the point of it is we have problems struggling memorizing scripture. These guys would memorize whole books. The Pharisees started out right, church. They were all about people knowing God's word, being blessed by God's word, being changed by God's word. That's all what we want, right? I mean, if we're going to sign up on a team, we want to sign up on the I want you to know and be blessed by God's word team, amen? I mean, nobody's going to be like, nah, that's stupid. That was them. But they got it twisted and they got off into that ditch and they got things messed up where they're living by their own righteousness and holiness. And we all deal with that in some way. I guarantee you. You've got righteousness in you. We all do. And it's horrible because our only righteousness is in Christ. It's not in how good we're doing or what we've come out of and doing everything on our own. We got a good job, we got good families, whatever. We're new, we're doing things. That's not because of you. It's because of Jesus. And they didn't get that. And so Jesus takes them to the word and he's like, hey, what about David? He actually did break the law. And he did. But you know what's so cool about Jesus? He's given the lawbreaker props. Does this mess with anybody? Keep the law, keep the rules, and playtime will follow. And here he's saying, hey, look at this guy. He broke the law. What's up with that? I'm going to tell you. Jesus was interpreting the law, and the law was meant to be given to us to bless us. Okay? There's blessings in laws. There's blessings in boundaries. Vicky and I, when we got our house, we live on this huge, all this property, and my dogs can run and go crazy. So I take my dogs out there. I've got a 15-year-old Westie, and I've got a 4-year-old crazy Karen Terrier. We take them out to the property the first day that we're looking at it. And I tell Vicky, I said, let the old one out. She's fat. She's, you know, the highway is right up the road, but it's uphill. I'm like, there's no way she's going to go up there. Let's let her out and let's let her do her thing. Church, I let that dog out. And she took off like a rocket. Boof. Gone. Running uphill so fast. It was like I couldn't even see her. She was like a blur. And I'm yelling at her, Ness, get back over here. Ness. Yes! And the more I yell at her, the faster this dog goes. And she's jamming down the highway. And I'm running down Elk City Road. And she's running down the middle of the street. Like, why don't you pick the dirt? But she wants to go right in the middle of the highway. And there was two things that went through my mind. Number one, I'm fat and I can't be doing this anymore. And two, I'm getting her a shot caller. And I know right here some of you are like, Jason, this is so messed up. This is my last Sunday. But we got a caller. We got two of them. And I set up this perimeter around my house. And I would walk them to it. And if they get too close, there's this beep, 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 beep. And if they want to be stubborn, boom, they get it. But you know what? As long as they're walking with me within the boundaries, there is so much blessing. They got so much to do, so much to go, so many places to roam. But you know, we can be like that too, where God says, I'm going to set this up around your life. And if you go too close, the Holy Spirit starts doing what? Beep, boop, 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 boop. And they're like, oh, I'm just going to let that go. Bam, zap, right? And then we back it up a little bit. We back it up a little bit. And we're like, okay, that's too far. And we bring it back in. And so what Jesus is telling them, that this is good. This is why he's given David props for breaking the law. Because he's like, this is how God sees it. Did David break the law, he tells him? Yes, he did. Was he hungry? Yes, he was. Is God about letting a man starve to death because it's on a Sabbath? Or is the Sabbath meant to bless a man and that he benefit from it? Are you guys following with me? So he was blessed with it because he went in there and he ate the bread and it sustained his life and he was blessed because of it. And Jesus is going to say Sabbath was not, the man was not made for Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for the man, meaning that we come into blessing on this day, not burden. It's about us and our relationship with God. It's not about you going out of here and you know, because sometimes we leave church and we're just like, it's Sunday, so somebody call you up, hey, I need help moving. And you're like, hey, man, you know what, it's Sunday, get a hold of me at 1201. Like, we can do something there. Man, I need help getting my prescription at Walmart, can you give me a ride? No, it's Sunday. You know, we've got to remember that this is a day of blessing other people and blessing God. And so I want to encourage you, listen, don't look at this day like a burden, but a blessing. Enjoy each other. And so what Jesus was telling them is like, listen, this is what the law means. It's good for you. It's for you, not against you, but they didn't get it. So we're going to close out with this last little section. So in verse 6, it says that, now it happened on another Sabbath also, that Jesus had went into the synagogue and he taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. Jesus walks in. He goes into synagogue. Synagogue was a church, right? That's what they were somewhat like. After they went into captivity in Babylon, they had no temple. They had to set up synagogues, okay? And so they would go into synagogues, and it says Jesus went into the synagogue on the Sabbath, meaning he went to church. And that's something, that's a word of God to you right now. You having fellowship in the forest, fishing, whatever. You need to be in fellowship with people. This may not, I don't know, I pray this is a church for you where you feel like you can connect with brothers and sisters who love you. But I will tell you this. Jesus made it a point to get to church, and he was busier than all of us put together. And it says he goes into church, and he sees a man who's sick, who's messed up, who's hurting. And I was thinking about church being a place where it should be a welcoming center for sick people, hurt people, people that are all withered up, and that they can get prayed on, loved on, helped. As the body comes together, helping the body. And so Jesus sees this guy with the withered hand. I think it's a setup, and you're gonna see why. In verse 7, it says that, and the scribes and the Pharisees watched Jesus closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him.
But he knew their thoughts, and he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Arise, stand here." And he arose and he stood. And then Jesus said to them, "I'm going to ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save a life or to destroy it?" So they come and they're looking at Jesus, watching him closely, not taking notes, not putting stuff in their phone, not waiting for the next point, not paying attention, but they're looking at Jesus to bust Jesus. That's like looking at the creator of the universe and issuing him a citation for not using a building permit, right? They're looking at the creator of the world and they're looking to bust him. And Jesus sits there and he sees this guy in the midst of them. And it says that he knows their thoughts. And by the way, God knows our thoughts. He knows everything, right? It's not just the things that we do, it's the things that we think about doing. And here's the point about that. God doesn't just want to heal our actions, but he also wants to heal our thoughts. Because the reason why we've got these jacked up actions is because we've got a really messed up mindset. And so when people say that Christianity is brainwashing, it is. And I need my brain washed because it's stinking filthy. So I'm good with that. And Jesus knows their thoughts, and he's seen them. He wants to heal these people. He wants to heal these creepy guys too. And they're looking at Jesus. They're setting him up. Is he going to work on the Sabbath? Because you remember, if you heal somebody on the Sabbath, that's going to mean that you're working. And so Jesus, he steps up and he tells the man to come forward. I like that. Because Jesus could have done this so many different ways. He could have told the guy, "You know what? These guys are kind of fired up right now. And if we go through with this, it's just going to be a real mess. Let's do this tomorrow. How about that? Or meet me around back at the shed." But he looks at the guy and he says, "Forget this. We're going to do this right here in front of everybody." And he tells the guy to stand up and come forward, because he's not going to hide the healing. He's going to expose it. And he says, "Stand up right here." And this guy, if I was him, you know as well as I do by now, we've been studying the word long enough. If you had a problem, a handicap, you were messed up, then you were a sinner. God was paying you back. Something happened somewhere. And if it wasn't you, it was your mom or it was your dad or it was somebody. But something happened where you blew it. Someone blew it and you got messed up. And he stands this guy in front of everybody. And if that was me, I don't know if I would have done it. It's kind of like calling somebody out in church for their physical features. "Hey, you with the big eyebrows and the fat nose, come on over here." Could you imagine that if you had big eyebrows and a fat nose? And Jesus is like, "Hey, you, yeah, stand right here. Come right here." And the guy does something. He gets up. This is the first step. He gets up and he comes to Jesus. And he's standing there in the midst of everybody exposed. This is so awkward. And Jesus, he tells them that he's asking them a question about healing, if it's good or not. Now, the thing that I love about this is we're getting ready to close right now, is that before this guy got healed, there's steps he's got to take to get healed. And this is one of them. Arise and come. Stand right here. This is the first step. And as I was thinking about it, I was thinking about how sometimes God changes things in our lives right away. And then other times, it's just this weird process of him working them out. Have you noticed that? There's things in your life that you're just praying, "God, take it away, fix it, heal it, deal with it. I don't want it no more." And it's like you keep going through it and going through it. There's steps where God wants to work things out. Where we're weak, he demonstrates himself as strong. And then there's other times where he can just heal. And he does that too, and we've experienced both of those. But sometimes healing for us takes us making small steps with Jesus instead of it all happening all at once. And I wanted to tell somebody that here today that's discouraged. I wanted to tell the person who thinks that, man, I should be farther along by now. We all feel like that. But if you notice, you're not where you used to be. And so Jesus blesses small steps, amen? So let's close with this. In verse 9, he asks them the question, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath or to do evil? And you would think that that would be a no-brainer, to do good. But they're actually arguing in their head, I don't know. How messed up are you? When Jesus asks you, is it okay to do good on a Saturday? And you're like, yeah, maybe. It's never a bad day to do a good thing, amen? So they're freaking out, trying to go back and forth, figuring out how to answer Jesus, because he's setting them up. He's trying to show them something. And so Jesus, he says to the man, verse 10, and looking around at them all, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. Now, I want you guys, this is going to be some homework when you go home. Did you see what he said? So here's the guy, he's right here. Jesus turns his back on the guy, and he starts looking at all the Pharisees. And as he's looking at all the Pharisees and the religious creepy people, he says to the man behind him, stretch out your hand. Why doesn't Jesus look at the man? Why doesn't Jesus go, hey, man, you're busted up. Do me a favor and just kind of like, yeah, like that. Yeah, you're doing great. Why doesn't he do that? And I wouldn't have thought anything of that. However, when you go a little bit farther in Luke's gospel, you're going to see another situation where a woman comes in to a Pharisee's house, and this girl's the original dirty girl. She comes in with all these sins and starts weeping on Jesus' feet, wiping his feet with her hair. You remember the story? And Jesus, go and look for yourself. He does the same thing. He looks at the Pharisee while he's forgiving the girl. And I thought that is so odd. And I was talking to Vicky about it. And you know what I believe that Jesus was doing when he was doing that? Is he was making sure that when he was going to heal somebody, that nobody was going to get up and get in the way and mess it up. That's what I think. Because there's people who don't always want you well. And so Jesus tells this guy, stretch out your hand. And he was healed. And so I want to close with that. And I want you guys, would you guys stand with me as we get ready to close out? When Jesus asked this guy to stretch out his hand, there was no way that it was physically possible for this guy to stretch out his hand. He's never been able to stretch out his hand. It was all banged up. It was all messed up. It was a part of his life that was hanging this guy up on the daily. And don't you think if he could have just stretched out his hand, he would have done it by now? But something different happened in that moment when Jesus looks at the man and he tells him, I want you to stretch it out. And as the man stretched it out, God worked it out. He healed it. And I wanted to close with this. Maybe you've heard it before, and I don't care because you need to hear it again. God's commandments are his enablements. When God's asking us to do things that just seem absolutely impossible to do, like you've got a withered hand, and it's as possible for you to stretch that thing out as this guy, when God gives a commandment, it's his enablement. So there's some of us here today, and I just want to speak to the one that's got something in your life that's got you withered up, and you've been dealing with this thing in your life for a while, and it's causing you issues, and you want it fixed, and you want it healed. And it's something that you've come to this point to realize you can't do it on your own. For some of you here, you're just irritated, frustrated, you're miserable, you're impatient, and you hate it. Everything's setting your fuse off. Your wife says the wrong thing and it's a fight. Your kids mess up the wrong way and there's yelling and screaming. You go to work and you're frustrated, you're angry, and you're impatient. For others of us here, we're withered by worry. For others, we've got idolatry, where we've been given our love and our devotion and our time to other things besides who it's rightly owed and due to, is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I believe this is a word from the Lord that he wants us to get today. Stretch it out. You're going to stretch it out today. And you're going to ask God, you're going to tell him, make me patient. Make me strong. Make my devotion just be holy and totally devoted to you, because I can't stretch it out. But if you tell me, I can do it, because your commandments are my enablements. So would you bow your head with me this morning? Father, I want to lift all of us up today. God, there's so many things in each and every one of our lives that have got us withered and are hindering us. And we know it. It's not like we don't get it. We get it. We know it. We see it. We live it. We've lived it. God, I'm praying that today is a day that you're calling us out as a church to just stretch it out in faith. To take that step, that first step, to just come into your presence. Say, we're before you, God. Now what? Now what? And now he says, stretch it out. Father, I pray over our church, everybody here who is in their heart stretching it out, whatever it may be. Maybe it's these desires. Maybe it's adultery. Maybe it's idolatry. Maybe it's impatience. Maybe it's anger. Whatever it is, God, addiction. And we've just been trying to fight it, but we can't do it. God, I pray in Jesus' name that you give the power as we take those steps to stretch it out, to bring healing in those places. And we believe it, because your commandments are your enablements. So take a moment just right now. What is that thing that's got you with it? Father, we lift it up to you now. Give us strength. Give us victory. In Jesus' name, amen.